Shalom to all! Today we're learning Maseches Kinim, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Vav, the very last Mishnah in the Masechta, and the entire Seder, and onto the brand new Seder and brand new Masechta, Seder Taharas and Maseches Kelim. And today's Mishnah is being learned Maseches Aser Basrachol, Shishi Maseches Fanjur Zivik Hagon, Bikar of Mamish. The Mishnah tells us, Ha'isha Amra, a woman said, Harei Elai Ken Kshayla Zachar. I think about myself to bring a Ken, a pair of birds, if I give birth to a Zachar, a male. I give birth to a good, healthy baby boy, I'm going to bring a pair. Yol de Zachar, she gives birth to a boy, Mivishte Kinim, she has to bring two pairs of birds. Why is that? Well, Achzla Nidra Achzla Chavosa. One for a nether, one for a chayv. We already know from early in the Masechta that every single woman that has a baby has to bring two birds. One of them is a chatas, one of them is an ayla. That's her chayv. And now that she also made a nether, so she has to bring another pair of birds. And these birds, both of them are aylais. We do not have a chatas. That's what Mishnah tells us. So she gave him to the kayin. What's he supposed to do? He has to bring three birds above. That's three aylais. And one below. That's the chatas. But here's the issue. Loi asa kain. He didn't do that. Elo asa shtayim l'malon shtayim l'maton. He did two above and two below. V'loy nimlach, he didn't ask. He just assumed. I have two pairs of birds. Must be two are oilas and two are chatas. So tzricha l'havi oid prey da'achas. She has to bring another bird. And that's brought above to make up for the oila that was supposed to be brought above. However, that's only mimen echad. If all four birds were the same men, they were the same type, they were either tyrim or b'nei yayna. So okay, she just has to bring that one bird that wasn't brought as the oila. Fill that in, not a problem. That takes care of the situation. However, mishnei minin, if there was two different minim, she had two different pairs, Tyrim and B'nai Yayna, and we're not so sure which one was brought, and the Kohen doesn't remember which one he brought first, so Tavi Shtayim, she has to bring two birds. She has to bring a Tar and a Ben Yayna to make up for that Ayla, because we're not so sure which one is supposed to be. Now here we go into another stage, complicating it a little bit further. Persha Nidra, let's say she was very clear with her Neder, and she had said, I'm going to bring a particular type of bird for my Neder, and she doesn't remember which type she had said that she was going to bring, and again, it was the same situation where the Kohen brought two above, two below, so we have an issue with the Ayla that has to be replaced, but again, she doesn't remember what that oil is supposed to be. So tzricha l'havi oid shalish preidim, she has to bring three more birds in order to make sure that her oil is being brought from the right one. That's because both of her oilis, two of them have to be the same exact bird. And again, that's only min echad if all the birds were the same type. But mishnei minim, if there are two different types of birds, so then tavi arba, she would have to bring four in order to make sure that she's bringing her oilis properly. Now adding even another layer to this case, kava nidra, let's say she connected or she attached her nether to her chayv. In other words, when she made this nether that she's going to bring a pair of birds if she has a zachar, she didn't just say she's going to bring a pair. She said, I'm going to bring it with the chayv, so it has to be brought together. And here we have the same situation where we do not remember what type she said she was going to bring for her nether. And again, the kohen brought them incorrectly. So tzricha l'havi oid chamesh preidim, she has to bring another five birds. And this is only min echad if it's from the same min, but mishnei minim if it's from the two different minim. So tavi sheish, she has to bring six birds, making it even a little more complicated. And sasam l'kayin, let's say she gave everything to the kohen ve'en yidu manasna, and she doesn't remember what she gave, meaning she doesn't remember what the types of birds were, and then halcha kain va'asa v'yiduah ma'asa, the kain went and brought them, and he doesn't know what he did. He doesn't remember if he brought them all as chatais or all as oilas or half as chatais and half as oilas. So tzricha l'havi oid arba preidel nidra, she has to bring another four birds just to cover her neder, because we're not so sure what it was supposed to be. And u'shtaim l'chavasa, she has to bring another two for her chayv and v'chatas achas, one chatas as well. So that means she has to bring another seven birds. Whereas Benazir Rabbanan says shtei chatais, it has to be two chatais. Now Rabbi Shua comments on this whole thing. Zeusha Amru, it's about this. The Chachamim said, Kshu Chai, Koilei Echad. When he's alive, he has one Koil. Kshu Meis, Koilei Shiva. After he died, there's seven Koilois. What's this referring to? So this is actually talking about a ram. When it's alive, it makes one sound. It baths, it bleats, it makes whatever sound rams make. But when it's dead, we get seven sounds out of it. What's that supposed to mean? Well, Shtei Karnav, it's two horns. Shtei Chatzitzers are turned into two trumpets. Shtei Shukav, it's two thighs. Shtei Chalilin are turned into two flutes. That's what you do with the thigh bones of a ram. Oiroi, Lataif, its skin gets stretched into a drum. Meyav linavalim, its stomachs are for navel, which is a type of musical instrument. Bnei meyav, the intestines, lekinoiros, are used for harps, basically they're turned into strings for harps. And yesharim, some say, aftsamer letcheles, even the wool could be used as tcheles, and tcheles was put on the kohen gadol's garments, which had bells at the bottom, so that's another sound. And that's the same thing with all the situations in this Mishnah, that if they would have done it properly in the beginning, she would have only had to bring four birds. Now that they messed up, she's bringing one extra one, two extra ones, maybe even seven extra birds, as that's a similar concept. The Mishnah concludes with Shimon Akasha Omer. He tells us, Ziknei Ama Aretz, old Amaratim, Kolzman Shemaskinin, the older an Amaretz gets, Daitin Mitaref Saleim, they become more and more confused. Shemar, because the Pasuk says, Meser Safalin Amonim, Vitam Zakinim Yikach, takes away the speech of someone who's a Neman, who's trustworthy or capable, and he removes the reasoning of the elderly. But Ziknei Taira, meaning old Tamid Chachamim, it's not like that. Elo Kolzman Shemaskinin, the older they get, Daitin Misyasheva Saleim, they become more and more settled and wiser in the process. Remember the pasuk says, "Bishishim chachma va'ayruchiyam tevuna." In those who have age, there's wisdom, and the length of days, there's understanding. Hajan alach maseches kinim uslikol haseder kachim. Mazdar finishing not only maseches kinim together, but all of seder kachim together. Shizuk uzecha finish this together. Which uzecha finish the entire shisha seder mishnah together. And now, without further ado, moving on to the brand new seder, the last one of the shisha seder mishnah, seder taharais. And this seder discusses, for the most part, the dinim of tomen tahara. Now, these terms do not have an English word or even a phrase which can adequately explain what they mean, and that's for the simple reason that these concepts are unique to Yiddishkeit and are not found anywhere else. Toma can't be seen with the human eye or felt with the hand as something completely spiritual. The more connected one is spiritually, the more they're able to understand and feel what Toma and Tahara is in a real sense, and therefore we're just going to use the words Toma and Tahara, or Tame and Tahar. Now these concepts tend to be quite foreign because by and large they're not really relevant today, save for a few circumstances, and this is besides for the fact that these dinim are quite complicated as is. Now the Rambam, in his introduction to Seder Taharos, dedicates 25 extremely detailed simanim, laying the groundwork for understanding these mishnayos, and the Vilna Gaon as well gives a very detailed breakdown of the different types of toma and what effect they have on various different things, and every category has subcategories, and then there's always rules and exceptions to the rules with many different details and offshoots. Now that being said, in our introduction, we're just going to discuss the very basic ideas without being too detailed. Over here, the following saying would be very apropos: less is more. And as we get to the various concepts in the different Masechtas and Mishnayos, so I'll try to explain them over there. But again, here's just the very basic idea. Number one, what is able to become Tameh? So that's people, kalim, and food, which include liquids. Now, not all people, not all foods, and not all kalim, and not in all situations, but that's a general idea. People, kalim, and food could become tame. Now, how does something become tame? So, one of two ways. Either it is the source of toma itself. Classic example is a dead animal. When it was alive, it wasn't tame. Now that it died, it became tame. And the other way is by transferring or transmitting toma. Classic example is we have something tame, which touched something tahar. So, the tahar thing now became Tameh. Now, it doesn't have to be through touching, as we're going to see there's other ways as well, such as Masa, carrying, maybe even being in the same room as it, but just keeping it for now, the general idea is that Tomah could be transferred through touching. Now, are all the Tomahs the same? No, they're varying levels, and each level represents the severity of this Tomah, and it comes with its own unique set of instructions of what to and what not to do. So, what are the levels of Tomah? And the basic names are Avi Avos HaTomah, that's the highest level, which is a human corpse. Then we have Av, and afterwards there's Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi, and Revi. And here's another important nekuda. The vast majority of the time, when Toma is transferred, it decreases one level in its intensity. And at some point in time, the Toma won't be strong enough to affect anything else. But again, this general idea is that if we have an Av, when it touches something, that thing becomes a Rishon. Now when the Rishon touches something, that new thing becomes a Sheni. So on and so forth, going to Shlishi, which as an aside, only applies to Truma and Kodshim, and then onto Revi, which only applies to Kajim. Now, lastly, what can be done when someone or something is Tameh? So sometimes going to the mikvah and immersing is sufficient. Sometimes a more rigorous process is necessary. Other times, actually, nothing can be done and the Tumah remains, which then obviously leads to discussion. Okay, so what do we do now? Do we just leave it, lock it up, bury it, burn it? And obviously, there's going to be many Mishnayos dedicated to that discussion as well. So now, moving on to the first Masechta, which is Kalim, and literally translated, that means utensils. So first of all, something needs to have the status of a kli in order to become tameh. A piece of wood, for example, or rock, or metal, even if they have a use of sorts, isn't necessarily called a kli, and therefore can't become tameh. Now, even if something does have the status of a kli, it still might not be able to become tameh, that's because it depends what it's made from. And by that same token, just because it could become tameh, that doesn't mean that there's a way to metahir it. We're going to see all about that in this Masechta, which, by the way, is the longest Masechta in Shas Mishnayos, with a whopping total of 30 prakim. Now, going to the first parak of the Masechta, it actually begins with somewhat of an introduction to the Seder as a whole. Now, even though we gave our own introduction, Rebbe, who compiled the Mishnayos, decided that it was important to give an introduction of his own as well, and so that's what we're going to see in these first Mishnayos over here. So Maseches Kalim, Parak Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, tells us as follows. Aves HaTomais, the fathers of Tomais. Now, what does that mean, the fathers of Tomais? So we had already mentioned in the introduction to the Seder that the second most highest level of Tomais is called an Av, and the reason why it's called that is because this is usually the source of Toma, because besides for the case where somebody or something touched a a corpse, and that would make that person an avatoma. All other avasatoma are the source of toma themselves. So here in this first Mishnah, we talk about the most basic form of transferring toma, and that's what the Mishnah tells us. These avasatomas, what are they? Number one, hasharetz. We know there's 8 different shrutzim that the pasuk talks about. Not everything that's a creeper crawly is called a sharetz. There's 8 shrutzim though the pasuk talks about that are avatoma. Also, v'shechla zera, semen that comes from a man, utmei mace, somebody who had touched a mace, v'amitzayro v'mei safroi, a person who had tsaras in the days that he's counting. We're not going to get into the details now, but suffice to say, when a person has tsaras and he has to count 7 days towards becoming tahar, so when he's in those days, he's considered avatoma. And also, mechatos she'imrem kedei hazaya, the mechatos that do not have enough to sprinkle, this referring to the water and ashes of the paraduma mixed together, that's called mechatos. Even though they are meant to be metahir, people are tamei mace, they actually have the status of tumas mace themselves. And that's what we're saying, if there's not enough kedei hazaya, if we have this water that's not enough to sprinkle on a person, there is a minimum shear. So if we don't have that shear, but we still have this water, that also is an avatoma. Now all of these, hare elu metamin adam v'kelim bimaga, they will be metame a person and kelim through touching, meaning if any of these things which are an avatoma touch a person or kelim, that will render the person or kelim a rishon latoma. And also klecheres ba'avir, they're metame an earthenware kli in its airspace. This is a special din regarding earthenware kelim, which we're going to be seeing throughout the Masechta, that all toma has to do is simply go into the airspace of the kli, and that's going to be metame it. And the Mishnah concludes, ve'einon metame b'masa, they are not metame b'masa, which means if a person carries them, for example, if a sheretz is on a plate and a person's carrying the plate, so he's not actually touching the sheretz, this will not be metame him. In the next Mishnayos, we're going to see avasatoma, which are a higher level, and they will be metame b'masa, but these avasatomas that the Mishnah just taught us are basic ones that are only metame b'maga. They're metame through touching, not through carrying or any other way. And so for now, we're going to leave it at that and pick up tomorrow with Mishnah Beis and Gimel. But for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.